Ma Maria Pati Lopati Yungani. Kau rasin akan kami jadi berkah semua undami. Belam terhampakan undami. Mama diubi rakhwa adat pun alaiyu rom kau rasin rakhwa jani terhampak. Alaiyu din nama kau rasin akan kami jalan. Terhampak dorin lecau mitam nafil lagi ya mama ni. Ijani adge kau rasi ama diklinya cahdu, diklinya lepeh, hutin jani itak tu, yakni hari, unat cahdu kalau kami deh, unat cahdu itak tu, terapkan ini jebla, damna, filak aku, mama ama yurha, bunga iki aku. Ibu menyayangi ini lagi ya, mendalika dangap, buang nukil kopdo diingin yang ia suli mama ga anak tukangan kenyit langan, at nilja baklu at nang nere ya, damna, ilip si mama uroni, ilip si marakari isi, hidun warak si hanoni datna indekan, aku hidun la baklu angayu digeti, filak nak tu filan lepas tu sini hubungan ini nuni hubungan lu aku tuh lu dah rumah litera balik dah ublu bang lip sini jauh dari juga malu muka dah ngah lip sini ini tu kota kan ngah juga ublu bang di sebaya mama aku ya kan si jangan ngah juga di lu aku ya lu aku jadi ya, damna ala kaklu orang dengan menan lipsip sup, dah kakek dia betul rasa lo kayak si yuming, kayak si nak cari kalau anakku lepas ni nak aku sudah pelan pelan dikit. Terima kasih
Bawa kau bicara tu Saudi, dia kata, aku maklum, boleh, sabtuma. Ipinyo, kukain nila sa pilakan. Taman na tangak, iinip yun. Nawa tangak tak, nalila, setkong si Mukano, nakasetkong isake ko nalila, alapit yung iso. Tumitanong yumi, sukarip yun ni ime ahto. Tanas yung iyo bisin na ahri, tala sa kong kalaku. Tam na buhuksi, nori, nakuit pirawi. San ko rin nip yun, tam na tanga. Tala kakityo. Uyadigat nga, tam nga nip nilaurala kaya. Tema,
Mita ko rabot tangom kisho kange ilum mido mata inyo wag sibuting sama ilabot katima iyak taksimarut FAS miglu FAE miglu tabruminga kangeksinya yaga tahuta Ase isumata tabruma iligoram at langok tarak neksok akangan imrutigalugu ilumeri kaming Ase ukotigatigut 500 sipit lubuning tatna ilangit Kenyang note kahuting, ilangit kenyang note kalokuting aglan, isumangit at langok si marot itna isumataan ilanga piyak matun it inganik dot ubatam na Kanuk lugup tuk ta sama tabru muna uko te karup ta Kangir sinyak tak sari gikut Asi te Aglagak ti tak luwit unni Ikayuk la sinyak luwit su luwit Tamat ko ta na Ing miknik Tangamik Kilkong ni te karuting pingitjot aglan Kilkonik tat Tuti cebut, ilabut, ilokata tak nasimik, ini si masuk nak tuut, ini pe yangur, ubogut pigi gebut, at let piging itjet ikayong naktut kanuk lugu samat samat taman naptuk ukhoti ge yuptigo ismal ismalu toruk ananun ismalu toruk ta nasimik inyugok tu chinyak tonun ismalu toruk naku kenya galau ting ta nasimik ilakak tonun kakanangitjok tamna tamna tuk ilagilugu ukhaupta inilenya katarupta sama pirasari liput.
Thank you, Tommy. The morning break, I'll let go, what, 11:30, come up, come on, have the yard, you. Break the car with them, we'll be two more subjects to approve the dollar, and then that's the thing. We'll have our coffee break. 15 minutes.
I'm your representative on the ICC Executive Council. But I just wanted to mention, you saw my son come in a while ago, his son, my grandson, Carl. He's our FAS baby. When he was born, he was only length of my hand. He stayed in the hospital for 6 months. We looked at him. We couldn't pretend that he wouldn't live. And the only thing you could that stuck out, because when they're that premature, they don't have too good of features. You know, you can't tell much. The only thing that stuck out was his hands. Even though they were small, they were big for his body. Barry and I looked at each other and we thought about Carl Luther. That's how he was named. Because of his hands, he's so much bigger than for his body. So we named him after Carl. That's cool name, Carl. But he's coming along. Who knows how much he'll be normal. He can talk, walk. Real strong, but he has problems. And, that's kind of people we're creating. Now back to the ICC. If you know, the ICC is holding their next conference in Nome in July of 1995. That's not very far away. Even though not being held here, and we're not the hosts. We're close enough, and we're part of Alaska. We got to try to do our part as well. And so, sometime during the next year, you might want to think about what is it that you're going to provide our guests from Russia and Canada and Greenland when they come to our state. And try to save up some of your best things and get them ready to ship down or take down with you when you go to your elders conference that will be held there. We just met with the Nome people, and they're doing great in their preparation. And they have Helen Puturuluk, who came up here and talked on the radio and stuff, who's their coordinator. She's doing a good job of planning. You're going to have to have the same kind of elders conference as you did before, even though at every one of these ICC conferences since we started the elders conference with ICC, the elders have asked to be part of the General Assembly. The Executive Council has not done anything about it. And so I'm trying to get them to at least talk about it during the General Assembly this year, this time. But right now, the plans are to have a separate Elders Council meeting the first couple days. And so you can expect to be asked to name your representatives to that right now, the whoever was representative last time are still the official delegates to the ICC Elders Council. We also went to Russia and held our first executive council meeting in Pravodinia and officially opened the Chukotka Yupik Society's office in Pravodinia and also the ICC office in Pravodinia. So we now have offices in all four member countries. The ICC is still doing a real important job for us. Most of it is hard for us to see because it never comes here. The work in Alaska is done by their own organizations, NANA, MANIA, Burro, AFN, those kind of organizations. We do our own work for most of the stuff that affects you locally. Same thing in Canada, England. But on an international level, where the countries get together through the United Nations, that's where ICC works. And ICC has people, mostly Canadians, because for some reason or another, Canadians are really involved. I think part of that is because they're all across the top of the country, the whole top of the country they are. They aren't in just one little state. And so they're right in with their government. So they can go work internationally and they can get more support from their government to help fund their travel and staff and everything. But they go to lots of meetings all the time, United Nations meetings. And also a new thing that started mostly because of our Arctic policy that we put together at the ICC and approved, I think, at the meeting we held here in Katsuki. Started a gathering of northern countries to talk about the environment and the land and the resources, and it has grown. It's gotten real big. They spend a lot of time and money doing studies on environmental pollution, what's happening to resources, how land is being used, all that kind of stuff. And it's called AEPS, Arctic Environmental Protection Strategy. And eventually, we think it's going to be called the Arctic Council, where the eight Arctic countries will form a council, and together they'll decide what happens in the Arctic. The ICC is very important in this because it's now recognized by everybody as being a very important organization. It's the most important non-member organization in the United Nations. It's because of the work that they've done. We've had good people representing us from Greenland, Canada, and Alaska. We've done a lot of work in the United Nations. And we've kind of been a leader of other Native people around the world. So a lot of the work we do is not just for us, but for Native people all over. Like I said, the Canadians have been taking the lead lately. We started off because after our claims, we had the leadership. So we had Willie and Evan and people like that that were starting this off. But now the Canadians are farthest ahead. And so they're the ones that are being invited to speak to the Australian natives and the New Zealand natives and people like that, where we used to be doing that, now that Canadians are doing it. So there's a lot of work there. So I wanted to mention that because, you know, you need to remember that you're part of the ICC and you have delegates to the ICC Elders Conference that will be held. We tried not to hold it in Nome. Tried to hold it in Bethel, where they're damp like Pasadena, but Bethel couldn't put their organizations together to sponsor it, so we had to have it in Nome. We don't like that because of all the booze there, but we had it here, and we had continuity, we didn't have anybody get hurt. So maybe we can get by and know. Another thing is we have a Russian program that I've been working on in Nana for the last year. I've been traveling to Russia ever since they opened it up, starting in 88, and all over Russia, but mostly in Chukotka, and trying to figure out how we can help those people. And it occurred to me that the way to help them will be to try to open up their eyes, try to say, okay, you know, 30 years ago, we were there too, same place. We had nothing. We had no control over ourselves. We had no people that had any power. We had no money, no land, no nothing 30 years ago. And that's what they are. They're totally controlled by the Russians, even worse than we were, because over there they took away their guns and their ability to hunt and live off the land. And even though, you know, here we had, they moved us to villages, we kind of kept villages here and there so you didn't have to move very far. You had to just move from a camp to a village. And over here they did it by putting schools in one place and then saying, if you didn't bring your kids here, you're going to go to jail. That's how they did it here. Well, the Russians are not much different. They did kind of the same thing. They said, you know, since they control everything, we're moving the store, we're moving the school, we're moving the clinic over here. If you stay out there, you're going to die. And so they moved them, same way, into places, but far and long ways. So they couldn't, they didn't have dog teams and stuff like that. They couldn't go back to the same place. They controlled them so strongly. They couldn't go back to their old hunting grounds, even if they had a rifle. You know, they were in worse shape. And now they had to live off whatever the government gave them. And so that's where they are. I thought the best thing to do is to try to open their eyes and say, even though you're here, there's things you can do to better your life. So I asked for some grant money from the government, and I got it. And enough to pay for some of their people to come to our region and talk to our people about what we did to try and help our people. Not that we did everything right. That's not the point. The thing is to open their eyes so that they can see there's something worth working for down, you know, that they can work for their people. And so one of the things that I thought that we did wrong was we didn't include the elders at first. And I'm not sure if we could have anyway, you know, because we had no money, we had no communications, there was no elders councils, nothing around here. So who could we go to anyway? But I know that was missing, because we would have made less mistakes if we had elders around and elders to support us. Sometimes it was pretty lonely out there when not only the white people were attacking you, but your own people were attacking you for what you were trying to do too. And we had no support. So I thought, if we're going to teach the Russians about what they should be doing, the first thing we should teach them is how to get their elders going and support their people who are going to be working on getting their lives better. So that's why we brought elders over. And we started off, we were going to bring two groups of 20, and I asked for a lot of money. They keep cutting it back, and we're down to two groups of 7, and one couldn't come, so we ended up with 6 elders on this one. But they're pretty important elders, because they have elder organizations over there too. And they have a statewide elders organization, elders of Chukotka, and their new chairman, chairwoman, is here. She's here, one of the representatives. And then a couple of Yupik association chairmen are here. They're all presidents of different associations. over there, and almost all of them are got the same position as Billy. Almost none of them are just the elder. They're all like Billy, except for that one woman who's head of a whole bunch of organizations like this. So they've got more organization and more people and more area than we have. But they just started and they don't know what to do. And I thought we'd bring them over and we'd let them talk to you and visit you and see that there are other people who have elders and that they're trying to do something. And not to tell them what to do, but just to let them know you're alive, because as you know, it's hard to tell elders what to do at all. After you get past 35, it's hard to tell anybody what to do. they will listen to you, and you might even learn from them, because they've done things differently, and they actually have a better situation for working as elders over there, because unlike Americans, Russians respect elders. The Russian people are more tribal than Americans are, even though they're still European. And they give their elders over there some powers that Americans would never even think about giving you. They'll let you say no to something that's going to happen in your village, and they'll listen to you in Russia. They won't do that in the United States. United States, they don't believe in groups like this working. In Russia, they do. So the elders could have even more power, more, could contribute more than you guys here. But they don't know how to do it yet. They know how to, because their administrators, their bureaucrats, their government has more control than ours does here. We can tell our government people to go to hell over here. Pretty hard to do that in Russia. So that's just, it's a different situation. But they need to know two things, I think. One, that you guys are here and working and concerned about the important things to help your people. But they need to know that they have to support their leaders in what their leaders are going to be doing for their people. They got to do that. They got to tell their leaders that, you know, that they're doing good, that they're doing good, and they're behind them. They've got to do what some of you were talking about, that we've always talked about since we organized you, and that's to try to get good leaders. Not people who are too busy with our problems, drinking and smoking and that kind of stuff. Encourage people who solve those problems, who don't do that, to be the leaders, and they need to do that, because their alcoholism is way worse than ours over here. So they need to know that they have to work on that problem as well. They have lost a lot of men over there to alcohol. There's men missing over there, and it's not just natives. It's the whites over there too. They got men missing all over the place. In Providence, there's over 450 widows, young ones, in one town that's smaller than Kotzebue. They got no husbands. They got kids, but no husbands. And that's the kind of thing that has occurred over there, and mostly from alcohol. One time, Mary and I were at a conference with Russians, and this doctor from Chukotka got up and talked for about an hour about about their alcohol program. And Mary and I were shaking our head. Boy, they got a worse problem than us. Then he said, "Now I want to talk about the natives." He was talking about the whites' problem all this time, and we thought he was talking about natives. So they have a real problem with alcohol. Providence is a town of smaller than Kotzebue, about maybe 2,500 or something, and they don't have a lot of natives there. And their district is almost the same size as us.
They don't have as many natives in their district as we do, and mostly Russians. And last year they lost 46 people, mostly young men, to alcohol deaths. Can you imagine us trying to put up with 46 alcohol deaths over here in our region? So they have a real problem. So that, you know, there's things you guys can talk about, and you'll have a chance to. But I want to take this time to tell you that our elders program is one of the most important things we ever got going here. It's like everything else. You know, when you've got good things, you never think about them, you know, if they're yours. You know, you just think about the bad things. You almost have to go to outside to find out how good you are, or what something you have is good. Everybody, like Rachel said, outside of our region recognizes our elders program as being something unique, something very powerful. We don't, but they do. And I wanted to point that out. It wasn't easy to start it. I remember my friends telling us when we started this that, what are you trying to do? Get these old drunks to tell us what to do? That's what they told me here in Kotzebue. And the reason for that was because they would look at who was on the council, and they knew that some of them had drinking problems before, and so that to them they were drunks. What they didn't understand was that, when people sit down together as inupiats in a group, that you're no longer yourself. You become something more, better. And I want you to know that even if you feel like you're alone and weak when you're out by yourself, you're not. You may be as an individual, but when you come to work at this council, you are very powerful. If you want to do something, people have to listen to you in this country. Now you have to pick and choose what you're going to work on. You have to pick and choose what you're going to put your organization on the line for, but if you do, it's going to get done. So don't think that what you're doing is not important. It's one of the most important things that's happening here. You represent our people as a tribe. There's no other tribal organizations. The IRAs may be strong in the village, but in the region, there's only the Elders Council. I want you to know that. If you listen to the kids, every once in a while they put something on the radio, somebody tapes them saying something about alcohol or whatever. If you listen, you hear what they say. They say that they have a hard time respecting their parents. And you know that. I mean, when we were parents, it was hard to respect us too. You know, I mean, who would respect us? My kids didn't respect me. But they all say they respect their elders. So we haven't lost anything. In fact, it makes your job even more important, because who else do they respect? Nobody. And unless you're out there showing them and telling them, they won't listen. They'll never learn. So you have to continue that work. And Billy and I, we talked about that when we first started. And he and Elizabeth, they were the ones that stood up and really helped when we first got going. I hate to see Billy retire again, but I understand. But I know he'll always be here. And what we're doing is we're creating more. It's good in a sense to see the younger people that are on here. When Martha first come on the council, few years ago. She was the youngest. She was the baby, and you know, and here she is. She got off for a while, and she's coming back. And that's what happened. Now, I don't know if Alice or Levi is the baby now, but you know, here they come. You know, younger people just coming along. I don't consider Rachel a young person because she and Mary were the first to get involved with the elders years ago.
Her babies then.
but it's you know, it's good to see, and so there'll be other people to take Billy's place, Elizabeth's place. But you know, I want you to know that they are. Well, there's nobody else that worked as hard to get the Selfish Council together and going as Billy did. So, when you meet with the Russians, now you know why they're over here. And I'm sure at Buckland and yesterday and Selwick today that they're being shown how, you know, how our people live and how similar they are, same they are. And but they'll also see the differences. And that's what I told them yesterday before they went. I said, you know, when you go there, you know, you're seeing your own people. And you're going to be surprised at how similar everything is. But you should also look for the differences, because we're going to talk about them when you come back. So, because I want them to see the difference between where they are and where. Because that's how they open their eyes, because they're going to be seeing how different we are. I just want to take the chance, I guess I'm going into the next one, but to talk about a couple other things. On this regard, next week we're getting seven of their leaders over here from throughout Chukotka. And some of you have met Yuri Tototo from Lavrenti is one of them. He's been here before. But some of them have not been here. And those are the ones we're going to talk to about land claims in Alaska, Greenland, Canada. We're going to talk to them about how Indians are treated in Alaska as opposed to Russia. We're going to talk to them about how to get things done, what they need to do to keep communications with their people, those kind of things we're going to talk about. Things we've done to get where we are. We're going to talk about those kinds of things. And hopefully they'll go back with their eyes open a little bit and they'll start working together. We're going to talk to them about, instead of fighting each other like they do now, how they have to get together to work together to get things done. And that's what they'll be doing next week. And I hope that's enough to help get them going over there, because I'm leaving Nana, and nobody is taking over my program, so that'll be the only thing. Even though there's money out there, Natalie Novak is thinking about if Nana's not going to continue this, about her continuing the program maybe over there, getting some money to keep helping them out. But speaking of that, I will retire again from Nana on the 30th of September. And when I went back to Nana a little over a year ago, my main purpose was to get into their retirement program, because I didn't have enough time before to get into it. So I needed to get it in one more year to invest in it, and I've done that. So when I'm 60, I'll get a little retirement from Nana. So that was the main reason. The other reason was to see if I could, there could be a place for me in Nana for at least another 5 years where I could be really helpful. And unfortunately, I didn't find a place for me in Nana. Our president is reorganizing stuff, and he offered me another position, but it wasn't the kind of thing that I wanted, and it's better for me to back off and look for something else to do. And let them do their work. And I'm still on the NANA board, and I'll continue to support Charlie and what he's doing. I wanted to say that because there may be some rumors going around that that we're fighting. He didn't want me there, or I didn't want to be there. Basically, it's I looked at it, he's doing the right thing in his management changes. We need to look at what he needs to do down the road for growing the business, but that's something the board will do. And so I told Charlie, on my part, there's no hard feelings about any of this. I support what he's doing, and I'll continue to support him on the board. And it's just time for me to move out. It'd be like me being on this council. I feel like I'm not an elder, so I would feel out of place, and that's kind of how I felt in NANA, because having been president there for so long, I was kind of like an extra thumb. So this'll be better for everybody. The last thing I want to mention, since it's not on the agenda, is the elections that are coming up. I thought somebody ought to say something to you. I don't know if anybody is, but all elections are important. And as elders, you should understand that. In your villages, the closer they come to your people, the more important they are. You have, I go back to the time when we had all of our strongest leaders in Nervik, Robert Newland, Billy, Alfred, everybody in Nervik. And they didn't pay any attention to their city council meetings, and all of a sudden the school teachers were in charge. And we had a big problem up there. And we had to go back and fix it. And they had to fix it. And those things can happen. It's very important that you pay attention. Not that you support anybody, because the last time we had support, again, the strongest leaders in Narvik, Robert supported one guy and Alfred supported the next, and we had a big fight. We almost split the elders' council. We had to go fix that too. Don't do that and make that mistake. What you have to do, as we agreed to earlier, is you have to look at the elections, and you have to encourage people to be a part of the election process, whether that's by voting or running for office. And you try to encourage the best people you know to do that, because as you know, the better our leaders, the better job that will be done. And you have to, that's part of your job as an elder, to make sure that the best people are representing you, no matter where it is. In the statewide elections, listen to what AFN is doing. They have a process they're going through, and whoever they're going to support. I may not support whoever they want us to support, but that's neither here nor there. You look the two top candidates for governor, Campbell and Knowles. Both of them would be good for us. They say they're going to support us. I think maybe Tony Knowles, because he's a Democrat, and because the Democrats more support Native issues, would probably be better for us. But it's up to you who you want to vote for. I'm not going to tell you who to vote for, but this year it looks like those two are, both of them would be good for us, whoever you vote for. But you need to get other people to go and vote, because we've lost the power we had when we used to vote. The Natives used to come out and turn out and vote. That's one thing they don't have a problem with in Chukotka. Their villages, the Natives vote 85% average throughout Chukotka. I don't know why. They're in worse shape than us, and still they get out and vote. Maybe it's because they never voted before, and it's still new to them. But they don't have that problem. We hardly get 40% of our people to vote. We need to do better. Otherwise, nobody will listen to us. Politicians listen to votes. So you need to try and help get the vote out as well. So I wanted to mention that because it's coming up pretty soon, and we can't forget those things. You are the leaders. You have to be in charge of leadership. You have to make sure that those people who are our leaders are leading correctly. And where there's openings, you need to make sure that good people are going forward to present themselves to be elected to those positions. That's part of your job. And you know, you don't want to forget it. It's not, maybe not as important as some of the other things that you do, but it's important anyway, and you should keep doing it. So I probably took more time than I should, but thank you for listening to me anyway. I joke about that, coming to these elders' councils to see if I can get some of your wisdom to rub off. And I joke about it not rubbing off very good, because I never get enough wisdom, so I have to keep coming back. So someday. And don't, you know, if you think that you need to do something, don't hesitate to ask for it. These organizations will respond to you if you have something important you want to do. Don't hesitate. Ask them. Nana, Manila, the borough, your IRA council, the city council. If you want something done, you tell them. They need to be told. They need your guidance. Everybody does. Even worse now than we did when we first started. One last thing. You know, we try for things for years sometimes, and we give up, but sometimes it gets done. We have had Inupiats go off to college and get educated and come back and become teachers, but we've never had anybody except for Kobuk. In Kobuk, which is almost not even a school, it's so small, we've never had anybody appointed principal in any of our own people until this year. And every time I ask them, the school board or the administration, our people are not qualified. And then lately they've been saying to me, the people don't want them. And because I keep pushing for them to appoint our own people. And my reasoning is, they appoint white people who goof up. Why can't they appoint our people even if they're going to goof up? And this year they finally did. Robert Mullock Jr. is a principal at Selwood. Finally they put one of our people there. And my guess is that when they talk about him, even on the school board and even in the administration, they're saying, well, we just can't wait for him to goof up. I'll bet you they do that. No, I just know they're going to do that, because that was their reasoning before for not appointing him. Why should they change now? And Robert is the kind of a guy who does things that make people think he's going to goof up anyway. And the reason I bring this up is that even though people may think that way, we can't help but be proud that he's been appointed. And I know he can live up to the job. I know he can, but he's going to need help. And you know, you support him. You need to. Even if he can't make it, we got to help him make it. He's got to do a good job. And being the first one, he's got to do a better job than the white people. I mean, that's the way it is. Anytime you're first for your people, you got to do it better. So he's going to need a lot of help. So anytime you get a chance to help him, do that. I saw him yesterday, and I told him, anything I can do, just call, and I'll go help. You guys should do the same, too. So I'm very proud we finally got one started. You know, if he does good, we may have 11 of them here pretty soon. Yeah, actually, he's not the first principal. You know, we had one in Kotzebue. They even run her off. Okay. Thank you.
Cool.